Well, amen. It's good to be back. Just up here a few minutes ago, amen. And we're having a good time today. It's going by quick, but I'm really excited about what we want to share with you here tonight, recognizing Mr. and Mrs. Wright. I've often said that marriage is like getting a wake-up call. You get the ring and then you wake up, amen. And listen, I believe one of the greatest needs in America today, listen to me, folks, is for young people to wake up before they get the ring. They really need to understand biblical principles, have a biblical foundation about marriage before they get married. And especially for singles and young people who are here tonight and out in the world today, to look and say, how can I recognize a godly young man, a godly young lady that might be a potential mate for me down the road in the future? Because as I said this morning, 90% of singles will one day be married. So most of the singles here, even if you're very young here, one day you will be married. So we want to share some principles with you tonight. I've asked my wife again, Debbie, to come up here and stand with me. And I know this is normally a preaching service, and I'm not into women preaching, amen, in case you're thinking that. But she is my wife under my authority, and I really think this is so beneficial to have her to share, especially from a mother's perspective, and talking to single girls that are here too, because I think it's very meaningful for that. So that's why I've asked her to come up here and share with me here tonight. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. So turn with me if you will. We're going to dive right in. We've got a lot to cover tonight. And we're going to talk fast. You listen quick. Amen. And we're in Genesis chapter 24. And we're going to kind of go through and unpack this whole chapter and look at different principles for recognizing Mr. and Mrs. Wright. Okay? So before we start, let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing. Father, we love you and praise you. Again, we come tonight and we have this special time, Father, that we can look in this passage of Scripture, and God, we can discern principles from the Word of God to help young people and to help parents understand how to train their young people to look for that person that you might have for them to marry and spend their life with. So God, certainly this is a very, very important topic, a very, very important time as we look in the Word of God tonight. And so I pray for every single here tonight that they would take time to be very attentive, for every mother and father, and God, that you would do an awesome work in our hearts tonight. And we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Well, look with me at Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we're going to just kind of go through this chapter and share some principles with you about recognizing Mr. and Mrs. Wright. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto the son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Okay, I want to give you the first principle, and that is that marriage is good. I just think I need to take time to say this tonight. Marriage is a good thing. Amen. It's ordained, instituted by God himself. And the reason I say that is we live in a very postmodern culture today that looks at marriage in a very disdaining way. Amen. Not as a good thing, but God, it says, it's a very sacred thing. It's a very precious thing. In fact, he says in Hebrews 13:4 that marriage is to be held in honor by everyone. And certainly we're in a day and time where we certainly need to be reminded of that.
Now, our concern is that marriage has been so misrepresented as confining and miserable that a lot of you singles just don't want to have anything to do with it. But let me tell you, I love being married. Sam and I, we do everything together. I mean, we even work together. I mean, we're together almost 24 hours a day. We have little hobbies we do together. We love to go hiking together. We go to ball games together. You know, we struggle together. When one of us is upset, the other one's there to comfort. And you know, I can't imagine life without him. You know, when he walks through the door, I'm excited to see him. And marriage, it's a good thing. And we minister together. We do projects together. And so we want to challenge you to consider marriage. If that's what God's got for you, then to consider that in your life.
Okay, here's the second principle we see from these four verses. A Christian should never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never be in a relationship with a non-believer, a non-Christian. Amen? Now again, that's so important for us to understand. You see, but Abraham here, he had his servant take an oath. Now he took an oath in a very unusual way. I mean, if somebody came up and wanted to take an oath with me and stuck their hand under my leg, I probably would hit them. Amen? Today we take an oath by shaking hands. But in that day and time, they would swear to each other by putting their hand underneath their thigh. And that's what he had his servant do. He wanted to make sure that his servant would promise him that he would not get a wife for his son from the Canaanites, this pagan, ungodly land. He wanted a wife for his son that believed in Jehovah God. Amen. And the Bible principle in this in the New Testament is we're not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. Amen. And a Christian young man or young girl has no business in a relationship with a non-Christian. Now, not only does it just mean that, but it also means that you need to yoke up with someone who has a similar spiritual thirst in life that you have. That is, if you're looking to go on the mission field, then you need to yoke up with someone who's looking to go on the mission field. Amen? And they need to have a similar spiritual thirst in life that you do. And so that's what it implies also, and very, very important for us to see.
Now, if you're a Christian, then your life should be all about Jesus. He should be your identity, your way, your truth, your life, who you base your decisions on, where you get your joy, what gives you your thrill in your life. It should be Jesus if you're a Christian. Now, we just said that marriage is sharing everything together. I mean, you do things together, you share things together, but listen, if you're a Christian and you marry a non-believer, you might be able to walk hand in hand and share things physically, but you're not going to be able to share heart to heart. There's going to be this unbelievable void, the most important aspect in your life, and you won't be able to share it with the person you're married to. So to marry a non-believer will add turmoil to your life.
Here's the third principle. Men should seek a wife by going to where the believing women are. Amen? You need to go. If you want to find a wife, guys, you need to go to where the believing women are. Now, listen, Rebecca's not at Hooters. Amen? Do you get that? She's not at Hooters. Amen? She's not at the local bar. She's not at these ungodly places. Abraham sent his servant 450 miles away to find a good girl for his son. Amen? Now, you say, where are all the good, godly girls at? Well, you got to go to the right places to find them. This is one of the right places to find them, in the church. Amen? Find them in your local church. Find them in the right places. Don't look in the right place, in the wrong places. You'll get the wrong girl. Amen? So Abraham said, listen, my servant, I want you to go over here to where the godly girls are and find my son a wife from that area over there. Here's number four. Marriage is for men. It's not for boys. Let me say that again. Marriage is for men. It's not for boys. Now, there's a lot of... how do I want to phrase this? There's a lot of so-called men that are married, but they're nothing but boys. Amen? You know, Isaac was 40 years old when he got married. You know that in this story? He's 40 years old. You know, some guys aren't ready to get married till they're 40 years old. Some guys are never ready to get married because they never grow up. Amen? Getting married won't make you a man. Amen? It won't make you a man. If your money's not in order, listen, if your life's not in order, if you're a porn addict, if you're addicted to your Wii, if you're addicted to video games, if you're addicted to television, forget it. You're not ready to get married. You need to get your heart right with God. Amen? Marriage is for men. It's not for boys. All right? Number five, men take a wife and women are given in marriage. Men take a wife and women are given in marriage. You know, in a wedding ceremony, the preacher asks this question. Who gives this woman away? Now, who answers that question? The father does, amen? The father answers that question. Normally, might say, her mother and I. And this is a repeated order we see throughout Scripture. The man looks for the wife while the woman is protected by her father, amen? And she ought to, listen to me, I believe in that today we need to protect single girls in the church. Amen? I mean, the men of the church ought to protect the single ladies in the church. If you know some guy that isn't a Christian, some guy that's ungodly, that's stalking a single lady in this church, you ought to get on him quick, amen, and protect that young lady. I think it's our responsibility. But we need to understand, ladies, listen. If a guy doesn't pursue you, then he's not interested in you. Don't pursue him, amen. God's order in the Bible is the guy pursues the girl, not the girl pursuing the guy. If he's not willing to make an effort to get you, he won't make an effort to keep you, amen. So leave him alone. Go ahead, buddy.
Let me have verse 5.
Okay. Verse 5.
Okay, where is it?
Over here.
Oh, okay. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring my son again into the land from whence thou camest? Now, what we have to see here is we've got to trust God. He is sovereign. See, what the servant's doing, he's very politely saying, this is crazy. This is not going to work. And then he starts offering all these what ifs. Well, what if I can't find her? What if she doesn't want to come? And see, I know some of y'all are sitting there right now and you're thinking, this is so archaic. This will never work. And you're thinking, what if the guy doesn't notice me? Or you're thinking, what if some other girl gets in? Or what if he's a nerd? You know, what? This just isn't going to work. But look at how Abraham responds in verse 6. And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And what he's saying here is, my son's relationship with the Lord is a whole lot more important than a girl. I don't want my son to go into this land to be around these ungodly people. His relationship with Jesus, his relationship with God, is a lot more important than finding a girl. And then Abraham continues. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And so what's happening is Abraham's starting to answer these what ifs. And he's saying, don't get desperate. God is in control. And if he needs to send an angel to help you out with this project, then he'll do it. But he is sovereign. He's in control. And then in verse 8, and if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning the matter. And he answers another what if here. He says, what happens if the person isn't responsive? Like if we're obedient, we're doing what God wants us to do, but that other person that you have for me, what if they're not responsive? What if they're not obedient? What if they're just not interested? And what God's saying is, look, the only thing we need to do is we just need to be concerned with our own obedience. Trust God with all the rest. He'll take care of it. Swear your allegiance to Jesus. He'll work out the details. You don't have to go chasing a guy. You don't have to try to force this relationship. And even if you're engaged, you don't have to try to force this relationship. This could be protection from the wrong person. If it's just not being put together the way that you want it to, it could be God protecting you from the wrong person. And listen, Isaac was 40 years old, and he was saying, look, there's no need to feel pressure. If you don't find the girl in this situation, you're free from the oath. And you know what he's saying, single people? He's saying, look, if God has not brought the right person into your life at this point, you're free. You don't have to worry about it. You are free to pursue God. And you know, there's a lot of freedom in a single person's life. life that a married person doesn't have. Like if God were to show you, I want you to go on a short-term mission trip, you don't have to get permission from anybody. You don't have to try to get their money to go. You get to up and make your own decisions. And if God were just to impress you to do something special, you're free to do that. So right now, what you need to do as a single is live your life to the fullest. You need to pursue God. Instead of the girl, pursue God. And then, I'm sorry, instead of the guy, you pursue God instead of the guy if you're a girl. Live your life to the fullest. And you see, I know single girls, you have this tendency sometimes to want to be married so bad that it can obsess you. And if it consumes you, and if that's all that you can think about, and all you're thinking about is, I gotta have a girl, a guy, I gotta have a guy, I gotta get the guy, that is control. That has become an idol in your life, that obsession. And he's saying, if God hadn't put that person in your life right now, you're free from this oath.
Look at verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. So here's a seventh principle. The husband should be financially prepared to take a wife. The husband should be financially prepared to take a wife. Now the camels and the presents the camels were carrying were proof that Isaac could provide financially for his wife when he took her. Now he took 10 camels, okay? That's a lot of camels. A camel can carry about 1,000 pounds. You might say, well, why did he take 10 camels? Well, probably Rebecca had 2 camels worth of shoes. Amen. I mean, she probably had a lot of stuff to carry back. You know, girls had a lot of stuff you got to take back. He knew women. He knew she had to take a lot of stuff back. Okay, but we see here, the Bible says that a man that can't provide for his family and he won't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. Amen. An infidel. And so God wants us to understand, listen, as a young man, as a young lady, listen, you should not marry a guy that can't provide for you financially. You need to find a guy that loves Jesus and has a job. Amen. Those are two very important qualities. He loves Jesus and has a job. Amen. Those are good things to remember. Look at verse 11. Let me read down through verse 14. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me a good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And it let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Here's number 8, pray for your future mate. Pray for your future mate. If you notice, we're just going right through this passage, just unpacking it, digging principles out of it. The servant took time to pray to God to show him the right girl for Abraham's son. Take time, listen, singles, take time to pray for the most important decision in your life, amen, that person that you're going to marry. Parents, take time to pray for your children, amen. I'm praying for my kids all the time. I've got 2 that aren't married now. I pray for them every day. We pray for them every day. I'm praying for my grandchildren right now. Jonathan Edwards prayed every day for 5 generations down the road. 5 generations. If you follow his descendants, it's amazing how God used his descendants. So pray. Very, very important to do that.
Now, what do you pray when you're praying for a future spouse? Just what do you pray? Follow the example here that this servant did. And in verses 13 and 14, what he did is he prayed that God would reveal the character of a hard worker that shows kindness to other people. So that's a good thing to pray for. He prayed that God would make the character of that person obvious, very obvious, so that he'd be alert to recognize it. Another thing he did was he depended on God to bring that person to his attention. He said, God, you do it. You bring her here. You show me. And those are things we need to do. Now, we know of a young Christian man named Wes. He became interested and infatuated with this beautiful girl. I mean, and she was beautiful. But he was really infatuated with her. Then he asked God if she was the right one. But the problem was that he had lost his objectivity. He was so infatuated with her. And all of his friends, his family, would point out things he needed to consider about this girl. But listen, he excused her character flaws because he was so infatuated with her. Now he's married to her. Let me tell you, he is living in turmoil. Because his beautiful wife, she's lazy, she's demanding, she's mean, she's degrading. But you know what? He ignored these things because he didn't ask God before he got involved to point out her character her character. And so what you need to do is look for hard workers that show kindness to others and ask God to make their character very obvious to you.
Number 9, a man should not pursue more than one woman at a time. Let me say that again. You should not pursue more than one woman at a time. Now, of course, I'm talking to single men, amen? Okay? Look at verse 14, and it says, let it come to pass that the damsel, not the damsels, amen? The damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, now, what he's saying here is, listen, I'm not looking for multiple women for my master's son. I'm looking for one girl. I'm looking for one girl to stand out. Now, let me just say this. Dating today, the concept of dating today, it encourages multiple relationships. But I also say this. Dating is not a biblical concept. And it only came around in the last 100 years. Okay, it's not something that's been historically accepted by any culture. And it's certainly the concept of it, of having multiple relationships with multiple people that you do not plan to marry to do that. That's not a biblical concept. Now, I know that's not popular, amen? And if I said that on Oprah, I wouldn't be on Oprah, but Larry King Live or something like that, I'm sure I get a lot of email, but I'm just telling you the truth. One woman at a time, amen? Don't break the hearts of girls and guys where they'll carry baggage the rest of their life and you're not going to be their husband or wife. That's very, very important. Look at number 15, verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, and Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was fair, very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Okay? Here's the next principle. Number 10. A woman's character should be observed before she is pursued. Get to know her from a distance. Now, I'm not talking about stalking her. Amen. I'm not talking about stalking a girl, but get to know her from a distance. Now, the servant knew this was a gathering spot for females of this area. And he could go and he could observe all these girls. And by observing them and looking for a distance, he could find that one that would stand out to him, that God would show him where her character was really real. And it wasn't just a facade or just a put on, so that she could get involved in a relationship, okay? And like Debbie said, would lose all objectivity. You need to pay attention to those people that God brings around you. And you need to pray and look for characters. Debbie said, again, I'm not talking to the guys right now specifically, look for character in that young woman that shows you that she is a very godly young woman. Now, sometimes guys, and I say this because guys are visually oriented. And a lot of young guys, they'll look, like Debbie said again, they'll look for that girl that's hot. And I've had guys come up and say, but preacher, that girl's hot. And I'll say, so is hell. Amen? And if you get her, and if she doesn't love Jesus, you're going to feel like you're in hell. You say, preacher, that sounds pretty strong. But if you did all the counseling I do with the couples that we counsel with and see the living hell that they're living in, you would know what I mean. This is important stuff. It really is. Look at verse 17. Through verse 20. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him to drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for his camels. Now, number 11, a man should only pursue a woman who will make a godly wife and mother. a godly wife and mother. Now, I want you to notice some characteristics of this young girl, Rebecca. Number one, she was very beautiful. The Bible says she was very, very beautiful. But let me stop and say this too, that the Bible also says that the real beauty of a woman is not the outside, it's the inside. That's her love, the master's touch upon her heart. That is her love for God. She was a virtuous woman, a godly woman. She was also, the Bible says, a virgin. Amen? That says she had kept herself pure for that young man that she would marry for the wedding night. She was kind. She was generous. Okay? And guys, listen, there might be girls that are fun to have on a weekend, but they're not good for a legacy. You might want to ask you some questions before you marry that young lady. Do I want my daughter to be like this girl that I marry? Do I want my son to marry someone like the person I'm getting ready to marry? What will my kids be like? You're not just looking for a wife, listen to me guys, but you're looking for a mother. And fools think about a weekend, but a wise person thinks down the road generations. And so you need to be wise.
Okay, notice girls that Rebecca was attractive. And what I want to say here is singles, take care of yourself. Be reasonable with the quantity and the nutritional value of the food that you eat. And exercise and stay in shape. You know, you won't have enough stamina to water 10 camels. You know, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't get, you know, and you can't help a guy with a project in his life if you run out of breath when you go up the steps. So you need to keep in shape. And listen, let the joy and the confidence of the Lord shine through you and change your countenance. That's what makes you beautiful. If you so much understand what you have in Jesus that it shows on your face, that's what will attract the right guy. And I think, yeah, we've got, I'll mention this book. I mentioned it in the last session. To me, a book that really helps this is A Gospel Primer, and it's just a book to help you understand what you got when you got Jesus and how wonderful it is so that you'll live out that gospel every day of your life. Now, number 12 is, a woman should concentrate on pursuing holiness, humility, hard work, and hospitality rather than obsessing over finding a husband. You see, Rebecca, she wasn't out looking for a man. Okay, now, and listen, it's acceptable one time, to let a guy know that you respect him and that you're open to getting him know better. Hey, but it is not acceptable to chase a guy. Because the Bible says that a girl that goes and positions her so that guys can see her, I mean, if she does that, she's a harlot. And you don't want to be that. Listen, don't stalk guys. He talked about girls, guys stalking girls. Don't stalk guys. That means don't be calling them and texting them 15 to 20 times a day trying to state your case. No, you let them come to you and you attract them with the joy of Jesus in your heart. And I have another question too. Girls, are you preparing right now to be a godly wife? And what I mean by that is, do you work around your house now? You know, are you lazy? Or do you work? What are your habits at home? Look, if I were to observe your house, would I see your mom cooking and cleaning and ironing clothes and washing clothes and doing all this stuff while you sit at the computer or while you're in front of the TV or while you're so busy texting that you don't even know what's going on? Do you know how to cook?
That's a big question.
Hey, I had four boys. Let me tell you, they can flat put the food away. They have to eat. You need to know how to cook. And listen, if you're no longer in school, if any of you are single, do you have a job? Are you a hard worker? And if you do work, when you're working, are you griping and complaining and criticizing? Are you sassy and rude? Or are you cheerful the way Rebecca was? I mean, he noticed her. She was so cheerful, and she brought more work on herself. She was so kind. She says, let me water the rest of those camels. Now listen, where did the servant find Rebecca? You know what? She was at work with a cheerful attitude. She was going through her daily routine, working and serving. And that's where he found her. If a godly guy was looking for a girl right now, could the Lord magnify your character to him?
Okay, some good questions. Number 13, here's the next principle. Ladies, live your life for Christ until your husband comes, but you need to realize the possibility he may not. Okay? Now, what I'm saying here is as a single young lady, don't accrue large sums of debt. Now, the reason I say that is the ones in America today that have the most credit card debt in America are single young girls in their early 20s. And they incur more credit card debt than anybody else. You know what they're looking for? Somebody to pay their debt off. Amen? Be good with your money. Amen? Hey, get educated. Expect your life to be completely interrupted, though, when God brings that husband around, because it will be. It'll be completely interrupted, as we'll see in this story. Verse 21, look at it with me, and I'll read down through verse 23. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand and 10 shekels weights of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there a room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Now, once the servant noticed Rebekah, he continued to observe her and to investigate her character, okay? It says in verse 21, and wondering at her, held his peace. He began to look at her, wonder, and say, is this the right one? And then he began to ask about her family background. He was determined to make sure that she had been exposed to the one and true Jehovah God. Okay, and you need to talk in depth. Now listen to me. You need to talk in depth about that future prospect's relationship with God. Can he or she give you a convincing testimony that they're a Christian? I'm talking about a convincing testimony. You see, because as a young lady, listen, you can some guy will tell you, if he knows that all you'll go out with is Christians, he'll tell you he's a Christian. And he might not be a Christian. Same thing might be true with a girl. And if they are a Christian, they have no problem giving you a testimony. They want to give you their testimony. You know? I know a lot of Christian, we know a Christian girl that was attracted to a guy she wanted to date. So she asked him if he was a Christian. And you know how he answered? He said, "Of course I am. I'm an American, aren't I?" You know? Listen, that's not enough information. Amen? Know for sure. Do they have a passion for Jesus Christ?
Now, there was a young couple that grew up together in the church we used to go to, and they were in Awanas together. I mean, their dads were deacons in the same church. They were in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, super active families, both of them. They were engaged to get married. On the night of the rehearsal, the guy didn't show up. And what had happened was, all this time where they'd been engaged, he'd been living with another girl. This girl had picked up the newspaper, found out he was engaged and getting married, and the whole thing kind of blew up in front of him. He didn't know what to do, didn't know how to handle it. He was an assistant manager at the Burger King. He stole the night deposit, skipped town. No one heard from him for 3 years. I mean, his mom, his dad, no one. And this girl, she assumed they'd been in church together all their life. And so she just assumed, because they'd been in church every Sunday and every Wednesday together, that everything was okay. She assumed she knew his character. But she didn't. So it's really important to get to the heart. Find out. You know, if you listen to a person, you can know, like Sam was saying, you can know their passion for God, because they're going to talk about Jesus without you asking about him. They're going to tell you, "I read this last night in God's Word." And they'll want to pray with you. She told me, Becky told me, that this guy, she later went out with another guy, and she said, "It was so different." I said, "How was it different?" She said, "He prayed with me." Listen, if you're going to marry a guy, you ought to pray together at least so you can see each other's heart.
Amen. Okay, look at the next verse there in verse 24. And let me read down through verse 27. And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor, She said, moreover unto him, we have both strong provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Well, I like that. And here's the next principle, number 14, stay focused on God. You know, this servant, what he did throughout this process, he maintained a God-centered, God-focused life. He didn't get distracted from the task. And when God confirmed to him this was the right young lady, he worshiped God. Amen. He began to worship God. I like what it says. Notice in verse 27, this little phrase, I being in the way. You know what that denotes? It denotes that his success in this journey for looking for this young lady was because he continually recognized God and the sovereignty of God and trusted God that God would bring this young lady to bear in this relationship. I being in the way. Now, I'd ask singles here tonight, you need to let your life be this alert to God. You need to be alert to what God is doing in and around your life. Do you depend on Jesus to reveal your way? And that is, are you in the way of God doing what God wants to do in your life? Are you looking for him, acknowledging him so that he will direct your paths? How is God working around me? You ought to continually ask yourself that question. Look at verse 28. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared this house, the house, and the room for thy camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set a meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. Okay? So as we look at this, we see the 15th principle. If a woman has a good dad, she ought to be courted through her dad. She ought to be courted through her dad. Now, since Rebekah's dad is inactive in this story, her brother Laban takes the position of the father. So the young man should first go through the dad. He courts first through the dad. My sons, when they got in relationship and they came to me, I said, listen, the first thing you need to do, if you're going to go out with this girl, you should not get serious with this young lady unless you know that she's the one and feel that she might be the one that God would have you marry. And then once you feel that way and you've observed her character, then you tell her father your intentions. You call him up, meet with him, and let him know your intentions. This is biblical, amen? And I want to tell you, a daddy that has a daughter, he really appreciates that, amen? And guys here, if you have a daughter, I'm certain that you would appreciate that. Listen, if I had a daughter, I've got four sons, but I had a daughter, and a young man wanted to court my daughter, he's going to have to court me before he gets my daughter, amen? He's going to have to bring me some chocolates. He's going to bring me a new golf club. Probably have to bring me a rifle, amen? He's going to have to bring me some gifts and win me before he's going to ever get to my daughter. I'm telling you, he would. Number 16. If the daughter doesn't have a dad or a godly dad, then the mom is next in line. And this is what happens in the story of Ruth and Naomi. Amen. Naomi oversees the courtship of Ruth with Boaz. And in Song of Solomon in chapter 8, we see that the Shulamite girl, her brothers oversaw her relationship with Solomon. Okay. So there needs to be someone there. It may be the mother. It may be a brother. In this case, it was a brother. It was Laban. And in this story, it looks like Laban was more interested in the money than he was really about Rebekah. And sometimes that brings us to the point. Sometimes it could be an ungodly father or an ungodly parent. But you still need to respect the position that that parent is in. And you need to go to them and you need to talk to them about your intentions. Number 17, the man should be able to explain to her father or to her dad why he is the right candidate for his daughter. Now, I think that's so important too. Again, if I had a daughter and a young man wanted to marry my daughter, he's going to have to convince me. He's going to have to share with me why he is the right one for her. Number one, here's the first thing. Look at verse 34 through verse 36, that he can support a wife. I mean, I'd want to know that, amen? And that's what this servant says. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. You know what he's saying? He can provide for Rebekah. He's financially able to do that. If you look at verse 37 and 38, he goes on to say that he is a Christian and he's seeking a godly wife. Now, these are ideas, these are things you ought to discuss. If you're a single young guy and you're interested in marrying a girl, you ought to talk to her dad about, as you talk to him, and saying, I'm the right one for your daughter. I can take care of her financially. Here's the second thing. I'm a Christian and I'm seeking a godly wife. Look at verse 37 and 38. And then my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son or the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. Or he's saying, listen, this young man, Isaac, is a Christian young man. He's seeking a Christian wife, and I want you to let you know that he's seeking a woman who loves Jesus Christ because he loves Jesus too. Listen, this is so, so important. Now, in verse 39 through verse 48, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read through these verses. I'd encourage you to go back and read these. But if you read this story, he basically, what he does is he retells everything that happened since Abraham sent him, how he found Rebekah at the well, how God was sovereign through all of that. Now, as a young man, and you want to talk to your future father-in-law, that's a wonderful thing to tell him. Let me tell you the story, sir, about how God put all this relationship together. I'm going to tell you, that would be impressive, amen? And that's exactly what this servant does with Laban here. Now, look with me at verse 49. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Okay. Number 18, obtain the parent's blessing. You need to get the blessing of the parent. You need to get their blessing on your marriage relationship. And if they're not Christians, you still need to ask them, and you need to try to get their blessing on the marriage relationship. Look at verse 52, and let me read down through verse 58. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Okay, here's number 19. A woman holds the power to accept or decline the man's invitation. The woman can say no. Rebekah could have said no, but she says yes. She has a choice in this decision.
Now, girls, if at any time in a relationship, I don't care if you've already mailed out the wedding invitations, I don't care if everybody's bought their gown, I don't care if the church is full of people waiting for you to walk down the aisle, if at any time in the relationship God shows you that this is not the right guy, or even if the timing's not right, call it off. Listen, it is more important just to be a little embarrassed than it is to make the mistake of a lifetime. You have this option at any time to call it off if God impresses you to do that.
Okay, look at verse 59, and let me read through verse 61. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Here's the next principle. Number 20, the wife will have to adapt to her husband. And boy, this is a big one. The wife will have to adapt to her husband. Rebekah moves 450 miles away on a camel. Amen? I mean, that's a long ride on a camel. Camel sway back and forth. I mean, it's not easy. It's like being in a boat on the ocean, they say. And she was doing something very different the week before. And in this week, her life totally changed. And she adapted herself to the calling of God on her husband. Now, this is so, so important. And young ladies, listen, you should not marry a young man if you're not willing to adapt to God's calling in his life. And it's so, so important to understand. The Bible says that the woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. Now, that isn't a bad thing. What God is saying here is I created man to be the head. I created man and gave man a calling in his life that I want him to accomplish. But I also gave man a wonderful helpmeet, a wife, to assist him, to complete him, to be a helpmeet to him in that calling. In the Old Testament, that word helper for wife, where God says she will be a helper suitable for him, that word helper is most commonly in the Hebrew used for God himself. And what it pictures is God is our help. And guys, listen, most of us need a lot of help, amen? That's why God gave us a helper. And we need that wonderful helper, that completer that God has given to us. And a helper is someone who enables you, who empowers you, who comes along beside you and helps you. And what a wonderful gift that is if God gives you that beautiful gift. So your wife will have to adapt to the calling of her husband. Look at verse 62 and verse 63. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lorah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Number 21, the young man should patiently wait on God and stay focused on his relationship with God. So Isaac had been waiting at this place the Bible calls Lo Haroeh. And what that means is the place of the living God who sees. He had been waiting for God who sees everything to direct the servant to the right young lady to bring back to the father. He was meditating, he was praying, and when he saw the answer to his prayers, certainly he was very, very excited. Look at verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And this brings us to point number 22, and a very, very important one. There should be no sexual contact between the couple until they're married.
Notice Rebekah's response. First time she sees Isaac, he's the guy she's going to marry. She sees him, and immediately she covers herself. This is modesty. So she displays modesty. And listen, girls, there is no need to display your body in order to attract a guy. Listen, you don't need to dress immodestly in order to capture him. You don't need to capture him with your cleavage or your tight-fitting clothing. You need to capture him, again, with the joy of Jesus in your heart. Because we do so much counseling. You wouldn't believe these girls. And they'll come to us, and you know, they've just been married, and they'll go, "All he cares about is being in bed." And you know, they're just frustrated. "He doesn't care a thing about me." And I'll say, "But how did you attract him?" You know, and if they attracted him with their body and their lack of clothing, then yeah, that's all he cares about. So you have to be careful that you're attracting guys with what really matters, with who you are as a person, and not with the way you walk.
And what we see in this story is Isaac and Rebekah, listen, they're not living together. They're not sleeping together, amen? Three times in the Song of Solomon, beautiful book in the Bible, it makes this statement. It says, "Do not arouse or awaken love until it's time." Listen, you're not to arouse sexual love until you're married. Amen? This means you shouldn't be making out. There shouldn't be any sexual touch with your hands, your mouth, or any of your private parts. Ephesians says that among God's people, there shouldn't be a hint of sexual immorality. Amen? Not a hint. Shouldn't be any phone sex. Shouldn't be any oral sex. Shouldn't be any sexting. And you read the you see the thing with ABC over the last year or so? Where 60-some percent, I think it was, of kids in high school had texted a picture of a classmate nude. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's happening in our schools and things today, folks. A national public radio survey several years ago reported that 80% of people in America at age 20 are sexually active. 80% at age 20 are sexually active. That means only 20% of women at marriage are virgins anymore. God help us in America. We ought to be concerned about this. Most singles, if I want to use a biblical term, most singles in America today are fornicating. And God says that's a sin and it's wrong. God says, listen, practice sacred sex, not safe sex. Amen? So important. You understand that. Sex is for when you say, I do.
Listen, girls, if you're out there and you think, well, I've blown it, it's all over for me. You know, I've already been in these relationships, and you know, and this hurts. Let me tell you, we have a Savior that redeems, that forgives, and that cleanses. Your life is not over. You can start totally clean. Now, there may be some scars there, but He'll heal those wounds. And listen, you can find in Jesus anything you need to overcome any mistake, any sin, anything that's happened in your life. And if someone else has violated you against your will, even, listen, Jesus will cleanse you totally from that. Do not let that hinder your future. I mean, it is amazing the God we've got. We are not trapped into this. We may have been trapped in the past, but that doesn't mean your future has to be trapped. There is still great, great hope. So don't give up. Don't give in. With Jesus, you can start all over fresh as Rebecca.
And the same is true for you guys. If you're sitting out here tonight and you say, listen, I've committed sexual sin, we have a God that forgives. Amen. You need to confess your sin. Repent of that sin, turn from that sin, and start afresh and anew before God. And I just feel impressed with the Holy Spirit to say this here tonight, because I have dealt with this so much in the last year or two. And that is, if you're a guy out here, and I'm talking about married guys too, if you're out here and you're into pornography, probably in a crowd this size, there's some out here. I know, because I do a lot of counseling with this. And if you're involved with pornography or something, God can help you. God can help deliver you from that. And if you'll confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you that sin. But listen, like any idol in our life, Ephesians 4 says we need to know how to put that off, but we need to replace it by putting Christ on. You put off and you put on. You need to put off this idol, porno, and put on Christ. And I just want to say this too, because I know a lot of times preachers will make statements like I just made, and you can walk out of a building and say, you know, I've been trying to do that. I've been trying to put that off. It keeps coming back. How do I get free from this? I'll be willing to help you with that. Email me. Talk to me at the back table back here. I can tell you some things that will be a tremendous, tremendous help for you in this area. I hope you won't be too embarrassed to do that. God wants you to be free. He wants you to walk in sexual purity. And I just feel impressed with the Lord to say that tonight. I didn't plan to say that. I just feel impressed to say that. Look with me at verse 66 and verse 67. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Number 23, true love is commitment, not feelings. And I spoke about this morning, so I'm not going to speak a whole lot more about this, but we're in a culture today that really says that love, or speaks of love, is falling in and out of it like you fall in and out of a ditch. Amen? And that's not biblical love. Biblical love, as I pictured this morning, is a committed love. It's covenant love. And Americans today think love is a feeling, but the Bible says love is a covenant commitment that endures for a lifetime. Amen? If we commit ourselves to that other person.
I think this is such a beautiful way to end this passage. I love this part of it. It says that Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And see, there's this hurt in his life, this void. And here comes Rebecca, his new wife, and she steps right in. And she meets him at his need, and she comforts him. And to me, that is so special that God would provide exactly what he needed through Rebecca. And that's what God intends. Hey, marriage is good. We said it to begin with, and this is part of it being good. When life hurts, we're there to help each other. And I just think, what a sweet, sweet bond this couple started out with, that she would step in where he's hurting and comfort him.
Number 24, let me just close with this. God is sovereign over the details of our lives. We serve a God who is a sovereign God. He's in control of all the details. God leads the servant to the well. Amen. Rebecca comes out at the right time. Amen. God is sovereignly working through all of this. But it helps when we're faithful, when we become part of this. Abraham is faithful. The servant is faithful. Rebecca is faithful. Laban is even faithful in this story. Isaac is faithful. They're all looking toward the sovereign hand of God working in this relationship. And it's so, so important that we realize, and you realize especially as a mom or dad of a single, as a single sitting here tonight, that God, if we'll look to God and we'll go by God's plan, that God will work things out in a wonderful way. When we go by our own plans, we really mess it up. And there's a lot of messed up relationships. There's a lot of messed up things in this country today because we're not going by God's plan, but going by certainly our own. We want to mention a few things to you, resources back here before we close tonight. I mentioned this morning When God Writes Your Love Story for Singles. It's one of the best books on a biblical approach to relationships that we have read. I'd encourage every single to read this. You say, what age, even by the time they're 11, 12, 13 years old, before they buy in to dating relationships, let them read a book like this and get God's view of relationships. A wonderful, wonderful book. Conversations with God. We talked in this passage a lot about prayer and the need to pray. The servant was praying. This is one of the best books I absolutely have read on prayer. And this will be a wonderful, wonderful blessing to you. If you want to check this out, I believe it'll be a blessing to you. You see these two books back here, For Men Only and For Women Only. For Men Only is for men to help them understand how a woman thinks. Amen. Now, it's just a little book. You might look at it and think it needs to be a whole lot bigger than that. But it's just a little book. But it's got some wonderful things, wonderful helps in there. Then there's a book back there, For Women Only, how to help you understand as a young lady how men think. And men and women do think very, very differently. And so they're back there. Some good books back there. Thank you, Brother Rigsby. And every young man's battle, every young woman's battle. We talked about sexual purity. These are wonderful, wonderful books and resources for your young people to get in there to them, to cover a lot of ground, a lot of material maybe that you don't feel comfortable even in covering with them. Very, very good. Our book back here, What is Marriage, is also back there. I really believe, not because I wrote this, God has really used this in a wonderful way. This is just this little book. We need to understand and teach those who are getting married what marriage is before they get married. That it's a covenant of companionship between a man and between a woman. Amen? And I get that from Malachi chapter 2 and verse 11 through verse 16. And I think I've preached that here. Very, very good book, even though we wrote it. And I think you'd enjoy that. And recognizing Mr. and Mrs. Wright, we recorded this when we took two sessions with 300 high schoolers up at Anchorage Baptist Temple in Anchorage, Alaska. Doing chapel services on two different days, so it's several hours long. We took about an hour tonight. This is about 2 hours long, and if you'd like to get that, I think it'd be a tremendous help to you, and we got a few of those back there, and you might want to pick those up also. I want to ask you to bow your heads tonight. Heads about, eyes are closed, and I just want to give time tonight before we close tonight. Maybe God has spoke to your heart in some way, and especially I want to challenge the young people here tonight, the singles here tonight, and ask you this question. Are you willing to obey the principles that we mentioned here tonight? Are you willing to pursue God in your life and let Jesus be on the throne of your heart before you pursue a young lady or young man? These principles are very, very important principles. And if you can remember these and you can commit yourself to these principles in the Word of God, it'll make an unbelievable difference for the rest of your life. So I want to pray tonight, and I don't know how God may be speaking here tonight. Maybe to moms and dads that want to come and pray for children and pray that God would bring that right person to their children. You may want to come and pray with your children. It may be young people here tonight. You want to come and pray and just say, God, I want to cry out to you tonight that you'd help me to remain sexually pure, to keep my heart focused on you, to bring that right young man, young lady into my life at the right time. You may be here tonight and you're in sexual sin, and you need to come and confess that and repent of it. I don't know what else it may be here tonight, but I pray tonight, even after I pray this prayer, and we have a song of invitation, if you need to come tonight to this altar and pray, that you would. Father, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name for your sweet Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for everyone who's come here tonight. I thank you for all these precious young people here tonight that are single. God, that one day will stand before you and stand before man and give their heart, their life in marriage to that young man or young lady. God, I pray, Lord, they would not forget these principles. I pray, God, that they would live lives of holiness and godliness before you. And God, I pray at the right time, the right person you have for them would come into their life. They might marry them and see that marriage is wonderful. It's good. It's ordained of God. And Father, I pray for parents here tonight. I pray you give them godly wisdom, Father, as parents direct their children and give them advice and try to help them in living a holy and godly life, a life where they pursue Jesus Christ, a life where they can find that godly young person that they might marry. Help parents to have that kind of wisdom. Help parents here tonight, Lord, even as we said in the 5 o'clock service here, Lord, to have a zeal and passion for you. Lord, not to have any idols in their life. It may be things in their life they need to get rid of tonight. So Father, whatever the needs are here tonight in all these families, brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight, I pray, God, that they would respond to your word through your spirit, even as you have spoken to their hearts. Do that work, I pray in Jesus' name. I want us to stand tonight, hands about eyes.